Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, it's John Gibbons with another one of these free little tasters of what is behind the paywall at Tour Player. And I'm joined by Don Morgan, who is the host of many things on the Anfield Wrap, but I think most significantly, the review show, which is after every game. And in my humble opinion, it's just gone up a level this season. It was one of our most popular and esteemed shows anyway, but sometimes there's just a bit of magic in the air, and sometimes things go to levels that none of us dreamed of, and I feel like that's happened this year. So Dan, first of all, thanks for hosting it. I appreciate it. I might not have ever said that before, but I do. What is it about? What is the review for those who've maybe never heard it before?
It's absolutely, well, it's my pleasure, firstly, and you do value me, John. Let's let's get that clear for everyone who's listening. The review is essentially, I mean, yeah, take the word review into its context. We try to look in a bit more of a nuanced way into Liverpool's result and, you know, what constituted things like systems, approaches, even a lot of the stuff around the press conferences. And then we go into the game and, you know, you've got Neil, who I'm sure everyone will be aware of in terms of his skill set and what he brings to any piece of content, really. But also, you know, you've got Sean Rogers, who is a UEFA B coach, licensed coach. You've got other really good contributors from the likes of Paul Cope and others who are regularly on. And, you know, I think the wonderful thing about the review is it's usually recorded anything between sort of 24 and 48 hours after the game. And we have given ourselves that time to digest off and watch the game again, look at what's present, look at what's said, and really, really just try and offer just something different. I mean, every piece of content post-game that goes out, you know, I think is very, very strong on the Anfield Wrap. And I think each one has its own sort of endearing quality. But I think what the review tries to do is to just say, okay, you know, what are the parts that made up the game? What actually happened in the game? And that can, you know, that's great, because oftentimes it can be something that maybe we've seen in the stadium, for example, you know, discussion between two players, or just something that, you know, you try and pick up on those little things that maybe not everyone's had the chance to see for obvious reasons. And yeah, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to work with Neil and Sean particularly.
There's been a lot to get your teeth into this season, which is, you know, not necessarily a good thing from a Liverpool supporter point of view, but from a host point of view and from a content creator point of view. You know, a lot of us have been saying, what is going wrong this year? You know, what is it that's dropped this season? You know, why is it the Liverpool, you know, the magic isn't quite there like it has been, and those are the questions that you guys try and answer.
Yeah, I mean, I think we had a period of doing shows which basically were of the subject matter of how would you beat Liverpool, because no one could. So we basically had, I don't know, you know, a big patch of shows where we were just hypothetically wondering, tactically, strategically, view different approaches, how you could beat this side. Now we have a team that is going through, people might call it a transition, people might call it a drop in form, you know, however you want to define it. they're creating situations, game situations, results, which are a lot more sort of on a bit of a knife edge. You've got different tactical approaches from managers who are really coming and having a go at Liverpool now. And it's great. You know, in many senses, it's not great. It's not great to get beat at home to Leeds in the Premier League, but in a sense of reviewing the game and actually saying, okay, well, what did this manager do here? What's he seen? What's he looked at? How has he done that? How would you beat Liverpool and actually try to beat Liverpool? You know, it's hard for Jürgen Klopp sometimes to talk about sides who will come to Anfield, put 11 men behind the ball and just kick it out for 90 minutes. And you know, I think for anyone, you try and make a bit of content out of that, and it can be difficult sometimes. Yeah. And we've done our best over the years, but I think now, you know, we've got a lot more engagement. I think recently against Southampton, you know, they were just one example of a team who brought an approach where they played two up front, went man-to-man on the centre-backs almost, put a real high press on them and got chances in the game. And you know, we discussed the relevance of that, the context of it, you know, the intricacies of it. And it all comes together, and it is for us, for the show. It's actually really exciting. We've got some excellent feedback, which is always nice.
Do you feel like you come out of it with a better understanding yourself? Because I do. You know, I'll listen to the show every week, and afterwards, you know, I'll feel that. Well, you know, I've learned a little bit from different individuals, or not necessarily even learned all the time. Just gained a different perspective, or they've spotted something I haven't, and you know, just gives you, you know, for me, I feel like that sort of rounded view of the game, really. And sometimes it's, well, maybe it wasn't as bad as what I thought, and then sometimes it's the opposite. To be honest with you, I'm like, oh, we're finished. You all need to hang up the boots and pack in. But do you sort of feel like that as well, even as a host, that you sort of end it, you know, maybe in a better or wiser place than when you started?
Yeah, absolutely. I can think back to a few times when, you know, I think Sean in particular, but Sean, Neil, Paul, you know, they've made a point which has left you feeling quite good about a certain situation. I think I remember a game where, you know, I think it wasn't quite Watford the season we won the league, but it was more around the time we were going for a title around 90 points, and we'd lost the game completely out of character. I think it might have actually been Leicester on Boxing Day last year in 2021-22. And, you know, I think there was a lot of frustration around that game. I think there was an idea that Liverpool were getting a bit of momentum, but not really showing that they could maybe go on that run, and they eventually did in the new year. But I remember Sean saying that he thought that the managing team and his coaches would be absolutely okay with what happened that night, because Liverpool did everything. But unfortunately, you know, they didn't take the game away from Leicester. They didn't convert the penalty. And, you know, they went up the other end and got one. And it's quite a simple point when you make it. But the way in which he goes into it, he talks about, you know, how they prepare for the game, the tactical setup, the way in which the system takes shape in the game, the way in which the transitions happen. And when you get all of that, you do have those moments, John, I know what you mean, where you're sort of on the long. And I'm doing that as the host sometimes. I'm like, God, yeah, you know, really good point. That makes a really good point. And then there's other times where, you know, I think we do challenge each other on the show, and we do challenge the idea of a point that maybe someone loosely agrees with but wants to take it another way. And I think that's the other really good thing about it, is that, you know, we don't just all present the same arguments. I think there's definitely a sense that we can all have our own viewpoints and they're all still really valid. And how great is that space where, you know, increasingly everyone feels the need to point to one thing and you know, have it glowing up and in big amber flashing lights. But it's not always the case. And again, it comes back to the feedback. You know, I don't think I've ever received a piece of feedback about the review that basically said that, you know, three of us were way off the mark and we were, you know, we didn't have an angle on what the actual issue was around the game. And I'd respect that if it came, by the way, but it's always really positive, and it's always, like you say, someone saying that they've been able to see a Liverpool game a different way, and that's so wonderful, like so valuable for me to hear, and I'm sure for everyone who's involved too.
So we're going to play a little clip now, and this is from Sunday's review. They recorded it on Sunday. Should also point out that we've got some videos coming out from the review team. So the review is an audio, a subscriber show. But on Sunday, they came in and did some videos and talked about the season so far and talked about what they'd seen, you know, from a formation point of view and a tactic point of view. Got the tactics board out there with the counters. And did you have fun with it?
I did. I was a bit hungover, I've got to be honest. So there was a couple of takes involved. But I had a lot of fun with it. And I think it's really important because, you know, we talk about the system a lot. You know, we talk about how Liverpool build up the play in certain formations, how they defend in certain formations. And I think a lot of people can hear that. Sometimes it's very hard to visualise, isn't it? So to actually give them that visual for Sean and Neil to actually show what it is they mean when they're seeing these things and they're explaining them. It was really good fun. And you know, we covered quite a variance of things. We looked at some statistics from the season and where Liverpool are still outperforming and performing very highly and what that might say. And then we had a look at Darwin Nunez and his impact on the forward line and his impact on Liverpool's style of play in general. And to do all that with the ability to actually see people and people to see us. I hope they go down well. They were really good fun to record.
Yeah, so free videos for subscribers to watch out for over the next couple of weeks. But this is a little clip from Sunday's audio show. Actually came out on Monday, recorded it on Sunday, which was all about the Southampton game. But the lads also took the opportunity to do a bit of reflection on the season so far and talked about what they'd like to see Jürgen working on when he's out in Dubai with the players and what the changes or tweaks or whatever you want to call it they'd like to see to the team when they do roar back against Manchester City on the 22nd of December. So here is a little clip from that. But thanks again, Dan, for joining us, for hosting the show and for just being a wonderful presence in my life.
Just to talk about the break now, Neil, I mean, he's been very adamant in calling what will be the comeback in a few weeks' time, another pre-season. So he's very much planned for that. He's seen it. I think that there'll be tons that they're going to work on. There's tons they're going to review. Do you expect to see massive changes from them when they come back?
I think a lot of that's going to come down to fitness and availability in terms of who's where for during this training period, and then also who joins them when. Right now, I would deal on Uruguay go out on the group stages, Virgil van Dijk makes the final. I'd deal on that right now. You know, I'd deal on, and Brazil do whatever Brazil do, because I think the idea of them getting genuine quality time and him getting quality time with all of his teammates, Nunez, for a proper pre-season would be brilliant for us. And I think whatever we're doing, Virgil's going to be Virgil, if you sort of see what I mean. It might be that he needs his minutes managing a little bit in January. I think there could be a couple of interesting things that happen in January where it wouldn't surprise me if a few of the players who go very deep into the World Cup almost get bounced straight back into the Christmas period, but then maybe, just maybe, then get told they can have a couple of weeks off in January because the way the fixtures fall with the cup and all that sort of thing, not just from a Liverpool point of view, but also from other sides. You know, it might well be you do the three league games and then you get sent off onto a beach for 10 days if you're someone like Kevin De Bruyne at Belgium have gone all the way in the League Cup. It genuinely wouldn't surprise me if there's a little bit of that, because I think the idea of you've just had the seven games that you need to have to get to the World Cup final, it's still in a period where in normal domestic football, you play pretty much, in England, you play pretty much seven games through until, you know, from the second to last week of November through until the second to last week of December. You may well get seven games under normal circumstances, but it's obviously different, and it's obviously, you know, there's other factors in there, but it wouldn't surprise me if a fair few are then flogged for the three that follow if they've gone quite deep and then they come out the other side. From our point of view, in terms of that pre-season, Dan, I think he will be looking to get them. You know, he'll be looking to... I think we've got a little bit of a thing we need to watch out for, which is I think we'll think he'll be looking to get them peak physically on the 26th of December. And I think he'll be thinking, I want them to peak physically on the 26th of February. And in our heads, we'll be thinking, so we're just going to come back and they're all going to be like absolute demons. And my God, I think that's the start of a process, which is you look at the way this, where the league games are, the Real Madrid game. I think that'll be, you know, where I want them now to peak, because I've got this period. I want to see them absolutely top of the world. Second half of February, March, April, first half of May, and then we'll just see what we need, and then we work it from there. And I think that you always go back, remember time whenever he's done a break and everyone's gone, they've come back and they've looked crap. It's happened a couple of times. They've come back from any break and they've looked crap. And then you see the benefit of it in 2 months hence. And I think that's the one little thing to watch for, maybe.
I don't know if we'll ever know the answer to this, but I'm looking for clues on whether he thinks some of the issues going on in front of the defence are down to personnel, and completely purely down to personnel, whether it's down to systematic things or whether it's down to the fitness and everything of them. The little spell when Southampton do really well, and they are overloaded in those areas, and they have sort of rolled the dice on a 4-2-4, so it is going to be difficult and you expect them to get some joy. But you see so many positives yesterday, and it was a really good day all round at Anfield. And you've got to factor in that Liverpool are moving down the gears and all that, but it's something we've seen through the season, that there were gaps in our midfield. And I think you could make an argument that all the defenders seem to play well, yet we are leaking chances to Southampton every 2 minutes, seemingly. And when you watch it back, you're a bit like, oh, Fabinho's just not doing without the ball what your brain thinks that he used to do. You think Harvey Elliott's being overpowered and run round a bit in here. People are getting in behind Thiago. You know, you almost feel forced to make the Milner sub. I don't mean make the Milner sub because it's an easy one to make. You almost feel like you need him in there to add a bit more aggression and a bit more bite. And I think that's the thing that this Liverpool team need, is to stop people getting at us, stop them counter-attacks, stop the feeling that... And it's interesting what he does. Does he change the structure in there? Does he think that everyone getting a break, clearing the mind a bit? And I mean, he also going away with the international teams, like Fabinho, just, you know, a change, being as good as a rest almost. And then what we see coming back from that, because he sort of hinted that he's not too bothered about systems, but then in the last couple of weeks we've seen it go a bit more back to what we're used to seeing with him, and it'll be interesting what we get out of him other side of the World Cup in that regard. And I wonder whether that is focused. It'll be interesting in January as well. Like, does he feel that if it's personnel, then he has to move in January in that area of the pitch? Whereas if he feels, well, he can do if it's the right thing to do, but actually I think this is down to other factors, both the system and some of the players. You don't understand where the levels were. Actually, if I get the system right and I get Fabinho and Henderson and Thiago's levels back up, you're going to see a completely different and relaxed.
I think the thing you're going to see is, I think it's because, not least because the way January breaks, you know, I keep saying it, if they get through against City, there's every chance they've got a League Cup quarter-final and two legs of a League Cup semi-final and a third round and fourth round FA Cup game.
Yeah, you can't have any out in that window. I mean, you just do the out at the end, don't you?
Yeah.
But then the buying club in a relegation battle might be like, do you want to do us a favour? But again, there's no real league game. Is there any league games for them, though?
There's three league games over the Christmas period, and then there's only two more league games in January.
So if you're in a relegation fight, if you have to wait until...
Because you're not going
to
buy before you're not going to play anyone you buy on the... You know, we've got Brentford on the second. That's not valid, if you sort of know what I mean. It's almost like it's still December, even though it's not December, and then you've got the January one. So it's only two games for if there is a relegation thing and you're moving someone on. But the thing I was going to say was, I think this period is massive for some of the young players. Like, I think this is massive for Ramsey. Ramsey never got a pre-season. He's getting this one now. And not only getting this one now, but you would presume he's getting it when they're playing 9v9 or whatever it is they're doing. Ramsey's going to be starting on the right-hand side of Gomez or Matip and Van Dijk. Well, Gomez and Matip, he's going to be starting on the right-hand side of Gomez and Matip, and Robertson's going to be on the other side when they're working on that, you know, when they're doing that sort of work. Ramsey fills in there, Dan, and that for me is the... That's where there's, you know, and we can mention Doak in this context. You know, I think he'll be licking his lips because I presume he's going to get to go away with them. There'll be a couple of others. I think Bobby Clark will have his eye on it as well. You know, there'll be a couple of others who I think could be in a situation where by the end of January, they're looking that they've just had 4 or 5 starts for Liverpool. But that is genuinely feasible. Kelleher, you know, 4 or 5 starts. He's going to be playing behind whatever the first choice back four is in these training matches. There's a number of them where I think this is a really good opportunity. But also that this manager's proven in the past that if you show him through that period, you're going to get yourself sorted out. Sports Social Podcast Network.